In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yes, indeed. Time to pass the popcorn. Our weekly look at the movies with our friend Alan Adams of The Main Edge. Good Monday, Mr. Adams.
And a good Monday to you, Rich. Yeah, word on the street is your Monday got quite a bit better just a couple of hours ago. Is that correct?
Yes, it did. The lights came back on. All we had to do was leave town. As soon as we got out of Dodge, you know, we're packing the car. And I said, look, if we pack now, then you know what'll happen. We'll pack and the trucks will show up. And, well, they didn't. So we got in the car and literally had been, we've been down on the island for, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes. And I get a text from my neighbor, we're back. Like, all right.
Oh, fantastic.
Load them up. Let's go home. Everybody was excited except Graham was like, I want to stay here. This is nice. But then we reminded him that we had more cable channels at home.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're fine. Like we were out of power for a stretch. We actually had a pretty big branch come off the tree out in front of our house that took out our electric and cable lines. The electric has been restored, but the cable and internet is still severed. So we're looking at an optimistic Thursday afternoon reconnection.
Oh my word!
Yeah, it's tough, but they've you know what? They've got a lot going on right now. I don't know if you've heard.
Yes, I have.
But yeah, so we're making do. We're you know, we've got our lights and stuff, and so we've rediscovered the lost art of the DVD, and we went actually to Sheridan's office, and she had some work that she needs to do, and in the process, I downloaded a couple of movies from Netflix that we're going to talk about here in a second.
Excellent. Well, yeah, let's get to it. Which one would you like to begin with?
Let's start with Love, Wedding, Repeat.
All right. I know nothing about it, so I'm all ears.
It's an English movie, the screenplay, it's adapted from a French comedy from a few years back called Plan de Table. The adaptation was by Dean Craig. He's a longtime screenwriter. This is his directorial debut. And it's a romantic comedy because despite the fact that the movie theaters, the cinematic releases, remember those? Those were a thing.
Back in the olden days.
That model long sort of left behind the sort of mid-range romantic comedy. And here's the thing. People like those movies. So it's, you know, Netflix being Netflix went ahead and leaped on that market inefficiency and started making just a slew of rom-coms. And some of them are quite good and some of them are not. And this one falls more on the good side than not. It's attractive people in a beautiful setting dealing with nonsense. Like that's, you know, it's just your basic romantic comedy. But the basic gist is it's a little twist on the standard formula in that, the easiest way I've found to describe it is I've been calling it Four Weddings and a Groundhog Day.
I like that. Very nice.
It's basically the story of this guy who has basically been tasked with ensuring that his sister's wedding goes off without a hitch. But he's confronted with a number of obstacles. And at one point, we stop the proceedings and our omniscient narrator basically rewinds us to a change point, and we start over and we sort of venture through the story a couple of times. It's pretty interesting. Again, it's nothing that they're not reinventing the wheel or anything like that, but it's a fun time. So the basic deal is this: you've got a young man by the name of Jack, played by Sam Claflin, who is sort of in charge of making sure that his sister Haley, played by Eleanor Tomlinson, is able to get married in the way that she wants. And like it's at a, this is, they're in Rome. It's this beautiful Italian villa. Like, she's very much in love with the groom-to-be. Like, it's all great. But there are a number of obstacles. You've got the maid of honor, Brian, played by Joel Fry. He's a struggling actor who desperately wants them to change it from maid to honor to something else. And everyone steadfastly refuses, which is one of the ongoing gags that I find delightful about this movie. But he's a struggling actor who wants nothing more than to set up a meeting with, there's a famous film director who's on the groom's side of the family who's going to be at the wedding. So that's his deal. Jack has been seated next to his uptight ex-girlfriend Amanda, played by Frida Pinto, who is accompanied by a very jealous and insecure new boyfriend named Chaz. There's a woman named Dina, played by Olivia Munn, who is a dear friend, dear American friend of Jack's sister, who he spent a whirlwind weekend with 3 years ago and has yet to be able to fully forget her. And she's all of a sudden here and unattached and ready to go. So he's got that to deal with as well. But the real complication comes when Mark shows up. Now, Mark is an incredibly coked up dude who has shown up in the tradition of all romantic comedies to make a grand and stupid romantic gesture at the wedding to convince the bride that she really wants to be with him. It turns out she does not want that at all. But Mark will not hear anything of it. And so eventually Haley is like, Jack, here's a sleeping drug. Knock him out. And so he puts the sleeping dram into the cup at the table and waits for the drugs to kick in. But wouldn't you know it, there are kids at weddings. Kids get up to nonsense. And one of the nonsense things that these kids get up to is switch around all the place cards at the tables. And so we find out that, you know what? Mark didn't get the sleeping drug. Someone else did. And, it gets complicated from there, Rich.
I'm confused already.
And that is our departure point, the moment of the drugging. And so as we walk through the day, the ceremony multiple times, we see the results that come with various different people winding up with the glass with the sleeping drugs in it. And, none of them really work out all that well. And so it's basically boiling down to, hey, you know what? Really, it's all blind chance. And you never know what moment of luck, good or bad, is going to irrevocably alter the course of your entire life.
Wow. That's big stuff.
Yeah. It's fun. It's goofy. There's a lot of fun interpersonal interactions. Everybody is very, like I said, everyone's very good looking and very charismatic. Sam Claflin has a real, has a young Hugh Grant vibe going for him. Less stammering, but the general energy is there. And the rest of the cast, everybody really does a pretty solid job. And it's fun. Again, it's not going to change your life, but the reality is, an hour and a half of distraction is pretty welcome these days, and you could do a lot worse.
Excellent. That's the story on Love, Wedding, Repeat. I was actually hoping to watch Tiger Tail this weekend, but then, we lost all our power, but you got to see it, and I'm really anxious to hear what you thought.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it when I started watching it, and I think we talked about this a little bit at the time. But when Bong Joon-ho was working the awards circuit ahead of Parasite's winning Best Picture at the Oscars and every other award, it seems like one of the things that he consistently talked about was the fact that American audiences really need to find a way to get over the what he called the one-inch barrier,
right?
Which is basically the idea of subtitles. And this movie put me in mind of that, because the very first thing that you see on screen is a message from the filmmakers saying, okay, not only basically telling you not only are there subtitles in this movie, but there are subtitles from two other languages besides English. So there are subtitles for the people who are speaking Mandarin and the people who are speaking Taiwanese, and they are differentiated. One has brackets, one does not. And so already, you're like, oh, okay, so it's not only am I watching something in a foreign language, I'm watching something in two foreign languages. Plus, there are scenes that are in English as well. And so it's all very, very upfront about that reality. And yeah, it's really good, Rich. Like, it's written and directed by Alan Yang, who's best known for, he's a TV guy. That's what he's most known for. This is his sort of first feature. It's an immigrant story, and it's a really compelling and heartfelt and heartbreaking immigrant story in a lot of ways. The basic gist is it's a young man named Pinju, and he is living in the fields of Taiwan with his grandmother, like working the fields, fetching water and that sort of thing, while his mother is in the city looking for work. His father has passed away in a manner that is never actually revealed to us. He spends his youth running up and down, carrying his bucket and fetching water, and is basically sort of oblivious to the realities of the world around him, realities that include the Chinese occupation of Taiwan. This is in the time in the era immediately after World War II in that stretch. He's really only got one friend. It's a young woman named Yuan, who he sort of meets in the fields one day, and they basically become fast friends for the rest of the time that he's there. But eventually his mom finds work and calls for him. And so he moves to the city and moves in with his mom. Flash forward a few years. Pinjiri is, he's a young man now, played by Hong Chi Lee, who is just phenomenal in this movie. Like, I'd never seen the guy before. I had no idea who he was, but he's one of those people that, you know how some people, and it's so cliche, but you know how some people just have it?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't not, like, watch them. They're just so mesmerizing. They're so charismatic and charming. Like, he's got that. He's got that element, so it's really great to watch him on screen. So he's grown up. He's living in the city. He lives with and works with his mom. Like, they work at the same horribly dangerous factory and the whole shebang. But he's also reconnected with Yuan, who's now played by Yeo Hee-seung Fang, who's never done a movie before, which is shocking. Like, it's when you watch the movie, Rich, like, you'll be flabbergasted that this could be this person's first movie, because she's just so wonderful to watch. So they're spending their evenings together, they're dancing, they're dining, they're falling in love. But Pinjiri's real dream is to go to America. Like, that's what he wants. That's what he wants more than anything in the world. And one of his supervisors at the factory learns of this dream and basically makes a proposition. If Ping Jui will marry this guy's daughter, he'll pay for them to go to move to America. And Ping Jui, seeing this as basically his only opportunity to get out, he agrees and agrees to marry this woman, Zhen Zhen, and leaves and doesn't even say goodbye to Yuan, just goes. And they wind up living in New York City in the 70s. Which it's the New York City of the 70s and with all that entails. He works long hours, she's isolated and lonely. They're not particularly well suited for each other. It's a marriage of convenience in a lot of ways. And so they settle into an efficient but kind of sad routine. And, their relationship grows. They have kids, all that. And we also get to spend time with Pinjiri in the present. And here he's played by Dima, who he's one of those guys that you've seen a million times. He's very familiar. He's wonderfully talented. We see him as an old man, an older man, and we see the sort of consequences of the choices that led him to this place, both in terms of the life that he's living and the relationships he has with his wife, with his children, all of these people. And then we just start sort of moving back and forth in time. And so we get to see, like, all of these obstacles, both the obstacles that, sort of the universe has placed in front of him and the obstacles that he's sort of placed in front of himself. We get to see these unfold, but we also have the context of knowing, you know, what comes after, like, and what comes before. And by doing that, it really, I think, does a wonderful job of sort of filling out the experience a lot more than it might have if it had been just a strictly linear storytelling. And again, it's not the most, you know, it certainly doesn't glamorize, you know, the immigrant story. It's definitely a look at how difficult that journey can be for a person. And it shows that it's this really interesting illustration of the sacrifices that are necessary to really realize the American dream, while also showing that, you know, like, even when the dream comes true, there, you know, those rewards come with a price, and, you know, you don't necessarily know what that price is going to be when you start down that path. And so that's a really compelling aspect of the story. Visually, it's beautiful, like, and there are wonderful distinctions between, you know, the fields of his childhood and the crowded city of his youth, and then the crummy apartment all the way up to the suburban enclave as he gets older. Like, very different stylistically as well as in terms of tone, but it's all rendered with a really keen sort of discerning eye, and the performances are phenomenal just across the board. There's literally everyone in this movie is good, and so when you have an ensemble like that, it really makes it easy to sort of get swept up into the story, even if you are, you know, God forbid, reading sometimes.
That's okay. I can handle that. I can get by that 1-inch barrier. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it so much, and I hope to get to it in the next couple of days or so. Thank you, Alan. We appreciate it, as always.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys. I really I look forward to it.
I look forward to you being back here in the room with us.
Oh, man. Won't that be something?
Yes, it will. Listen, good luck to you and Sheridan as well. Get that internet and everything back soon.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
We're with you. We're thinking of you. Thanks, Al.
All right, bud.
That's Alan Adams talking movies with us here. Pass the popcorn on downtown.